Hey, as we get started tonight, just want to remind you guys that last week we kicked off a brand new series, and it was awesome. We're calling it How to Church. We're calling it How to Church. And here's the thing. Many of you come to this place every week, and even if you don't come every week, you're here right now. And so you're here at this place called church, and so we need to really think about, like, what are we even doing here, right? Like, what is this place all about? Why are we here? Why are we gathering in this place tonight? And so last week we started off and we said, if we had to define church, if someone asked me, what is church? And I had to answer them, what I said is the church is the group of all the followers of Jesus in the world. First and foremost, it is a group of people. The way we defined it last week is that it's a community that's living in God's grace and living out God's rule. It's a people that have experienced the transformational, life-changing love of Jesus, his forgiveness, his hope, and all of the good things that he brings. And they live in that, and then because of that, they are empowered to live the life that God calls them to live, a life that brings good into the world around them, right? So that is what the church is. And until Jesus comes back, we talked about how God's plan for the redemption of the world is the church. God wants to use the church to be the hope of the world, pointing to him. And if you are a follower of Jesus here tonight, I got to tell you, you are the church. It's you. It ain't nobody else. It's you. You, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are the church. You are a part of God's redemptive plan for the world. However, very often, we don't view the church this way. And I have a story to tell you guys tonight to kind of illustrate one of the ways that we can view the church wrongly. So when I was in high school, I went to Crescenta Valley High School. Ayo, Falcons. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. And I was on the football team. Hey, football, yeah. And I'm going to be really honest with you guys. We were 100% average. We were not great. We were not terrible. We were just top of the bell curve, like right in the middle, like not impressive, not terrible, not great, had a few big wins, had just as many big losses. It was 100% average, right? Like nothing to scream about in any way. And so, but the thing was, I loved my teammates. I loved playing football, and you really bond with your teammates when you're playing football. It is a violent contact sport, and for whatever reason, that really bonds teammates together. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go kill that guy. Thanks, man. You know, like, it really brings people together, right? And so I really liked all of my teammates, right? Except this one guy. Now, here's the thing. I pride myself in being not just a likable guy, but able to like most people. Like, if you introduce me to someone, odds are I'll be able to not just hold a conversation with them, but like them. Like, that's just kind of who I am, right? And I like that about myself. I'm generally a positive guy. I can get along with most people. But this guy was the worst, right? And so, here's the thing. What he was all about is he would milk being a football player for all it was worth. Right? So he would be like, he'd be wearing his jersey at school, you know, and he'd be like talking about, yeah, I'm on the football team, you know, like football, weights, hitting people, right? Like trying to impress people. He'd like pick up on girls, you know, but the thing is, so he would be a teammate when it benefited him, but when it didn't, he would be a critic. He was the biggest critic of our whole team. You're like, oh, our defense is awful. Like, we can't stop anyone. Our kicker, man, he can't put it between the uprights to save his life. Oh, quarterback, he can't even throw the ball, right? And he was the biggest critic of our own team. He was the worst, right? Like, no one on the team liked this guy. And the thing was, he didn't even play. He didn't even play. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, I play football. We're like, no, you don't play football. Like, you never get in the game. You're awful, right? Like, he's so bad. But he was the biggest critic of the whole team. He wasn't doing any work to make our team better, right? He was a teammate when it benefited him and a critic when it didn't. And the thing is, he wasn't ultimately interested in making the team win. He was ultimately interested in what being on the football team could do for him, right? He wore the jersey at school, but he didn't have any bruises from the game, right? Here's the thing. This guy was what we call a consumer. He was just taking, taking, taking. He wasn't interested in seeing the good of the team. He was only interested in the good of himself. And CA students, I have to be honest with you guys tonight. I think sometimes we are all in danger of viewing the church that way. we're in danger of just viewing the church as a place that caters to my needs. I come because it helps me, right? But tonight, we're going to dig deeper into the good design of the church. And I believe that that will bring the most good to ourselves and to this world. But before we jump into it tonight, would you guys honestly pray with me and ask that God would speak to us through his word tonight? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your church. Thank you for not leaving us alone on this earth, but giving us the Holy Spirit to lead us and empower us and guide us. And God, I pray that as we open your word tonight and honestly seek out what it means to be the church, that you would guide our seeking, that you would meet us, that you would show yourself to us, and that we would know and love you better by the end of our time tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you haven't already, go ahead and grab the blue paper out from underneath your chairs. It's a handout. You can take some notes on that if you're into that sort of thing. And so let's start with the obvious tonight, right? Church is the place to be. Amen? Amen. Church is the place to be. Here's the thing. Every single one of you, or in some cases your parents, have decided that there is something good in this place, right? Because if no one thought there was anything good here, no one would be here, right? Like, we've all come to varying levels of deciding that there is something good here at church for me, or else I wouldn't come here to do it, right? And so there is so much goodness that you receive when you come to a church gathering, like tonight or like the weekends, right? There is the friendship, the encouragement, the belonging, the laughter that only a community can provide. And that community is provided in the church. There's the incredible spirit-filled worship that lifts and aligns our souls with truth. And we are able to experience that worship here at church. There's dynamic preaching, right, that inspires and instructs us in the word of God. And that's available here at church. There's the joy of just being together, of playing games and watching Team Cross win. Amen? Amen. Hey, that's right. Hey, here's the thing, y'all. There is so much good available when we gather as the church. There's so much good available. However, if we view the church primarily as a place that you come to get fed or just receive goodness, and that's what your understanding of the church ends at, I have to be honest with you and tell you you're not viewing it very biblically. If your perception of the church focuses on or ends with just receiving, you have an incomplete picture of what the church is and could be in your life. And part of what makes this so natural for us is that as Americans, we are steeped in capitalism. And free market capitalism is the economic model of the United States, and it is not in and of itself bad, right? However, it profoundly influences and impacts us, and we need to be aware of the way it does that, right? What it says is, in capitalism terminology, you know what the primary word that refers to a person is? It's consumer. Right? The definition of consumer is someone who eats or uses something, right? And so it shapes us, capitalism, just being around, hearing like, oh, the consumer wants this, oh, the consumer that, like supply and demand, get more supply for the consumer, right? We hear, I'm a consumer, and that shapes us to view ourselves as primarily takers or primarily receivers of goods, right? So a place is only as good to me, or like as effective as it is that I like it, right? That's all that matters to a place, right? The customer is always right. My opinion, my preferences are what rule the day, right? McDonald's not doing it for me, I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A. It's my pleasure, right? I actually probably wouldn't have started at McDonald's. Let's be real. Target not doing it for me, I'm going to go to Amazon. They bring it to my door for me, right? Like Netflix not showing my favorite shows anymore, I'll try Hulu, right? And so easily, it's just like, oh, it's just whatever is bringing me the best service. But watch how this transition happens very quickly. Oh, this church's music worship isn't that good. I'm going to go to a different one. See a student's preaching, it's just all right. I'll go to a different church. They have a better speaker. This church isn't quite what I want. I'll just church shop around a little bit more to find a place where I get fed, right? And so quickly, we bring our American consumeristic mindset into the church, into a church gathering. But CA students, let me just tell you that the church is not primarily a place where you come to be entertained once a week, right? The church is the center of God's redemptive plan for the world. It's not a concert that you come to once a week to be entertained, to be fed primarily. It is the center of God's redemptive plan for the world. It's so much bigger than that. So here's the main point of what we're talking about tonight. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are the church. But I got to tell you, the church is not all about you. You are the church. But the church is not all about you. I'll say it again. You are the church. But the church is not all about you. Yes, when we gather as the church, we receive so much. And that's good. That's a good thing. I don't want to downplay that. We receive so much. That's good. But it cannot end there. We receive so much so that we can give so much. We are encouraged so that we can encourage. We are inspired so that we can go inspire. We receive prayer so that we can go and give prayer. And if this sounds familiar to you at all, good, because we're just revisiting the theme for the whole year, which is grow so that you can overflow. Right? It never ends with just growing. When we experience Jesus, we are filled with this abundant life. And it's so abundant. There's so much of it that it fills us up and it overflows out of us, pouring good out onto the people around us. And that's the design. Like, it never ends with growing. It never ends with receiving. We have to keep on going until we overflow, until we give out. That is the model. That is the design of who we are. Your life is too important. Your contribution is too important to this church and to this world. You have a calling on your life, a destiny, a purpose from God. Please don't stop with just receiving. We need you as the church and as the world. We need what you can bring through Jesus. So you are the church, but the church is not all about you. The question is, how do we live this out? How do we live this out? And I think specifically the question is, what then should be our expectation of when we gather here, right? When we gather as the church, what can we expect? And I think there are two main things that can help us teach us how to church, right? So the first thing, when we gather as the church, we are encouraged and we encourage. Go ahead and write that down. We are encouraged and we encourage. We are encouraged and we encourage. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. See, students, notice that it doesn't say first be encouraged by each other. It says first encourage one another, right? And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be encouraged. We should be encouraged, but that shouldn't be our first priority, our first instinct when we come. It means we need to shift our expectations from first consuming to first giving, right? We need to shift what we come here for first. Part of being the church means you giving back. Now, if you're anything like me, you're hearing what I'm saying, and you're like, yeah, but Levi, I really need encouragement. Like, I think you're underestimating, like, what I'm able to give and, like, what I need, right? And I got to be honest with you, like, I've felt the same fear. Like, well, if I come and I'm just focusing on giving, then who's going to encourage me, right? But let me tell you a little bit about the good design of the church, CA students. If everyone comes with the mindset of, I'm going to encourage everyone else in this room, everyone's going to be so encouraged. There's going to be such an abundance of encouragement in this place. We will not be short on it if we all take the mindset of, I'm going to encourage others first. When we do that, there will be such an abundance of encouragement in this place. Just think about like a life group of 10 people. You're one of the 10 people. What if instead of spending 9/10 of our time focusing on being encouraged and just 1/10 encouraging others, what if we flipped that ratio? What if for the 9 other people, we spent 9/10 of our attention in our time encouraging others? That's 9 times as much encouragement in that group. I'm no math major, but that's how it works, y'all. Come on, like, what would happen? What would it be like if we were people that focused on encouraging others first? We didn't wait to be encouraged before we gave, but we gave first. What kind of community would this be? It would be so good. We would be exploding with encouragement in this place. And CA students, what I got to tell you is you are the church. So you can make this place that kind of place. You are the church, so you can make this place that kind of encouraging place. And I also just need to say, as your pastor, that if you come to this place often, if you consider this place your home church, and if you are not serving in some capacity, you're doing church wrong. That's not the biblical model of church. If you call this place home, you got chores to do. And that is a good thing. That is the design of the church. That's how the church is sustained and maintained. So CA students, I got to ask you, like, honestly, like, are you serving this place in some way? You can go ahead and grab that other sheet of paper from under your chair right now. This is a list of all sorts of different ways that you can serve at our church community. I'll just name a few. You could serve on the worship team here and be a part of leading our whole community in worship towards God. That's so encouraging. You could be a part of the Alpha team, being a part of being the first impression of what it means to be at CA students, welcoming everyone, creating a community of belonging. You could jump in and serve at Kids Church. That's what I did when I was here, when I was your age. That's also where Kayla and I hung out the most, and then look what happened, right? So it is awesome, right? Another, you could serve on the weekend services, part of the hospitality team, making our church a place of welcome and belonging. CA students, you are the church. You can make this place that kind of place. You can do it. So that's the first thing. When we gather as the church, we are encouraged and we encouraged. Point number two, when we gather as the church, we are equipped and we are sent out. Write that down. We are equipped and we are sent out. We are equipped and we are sent out. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12 says this. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. CA students, as your pastors and your teachers, we are equipping you to do God's work. That's why we open God's word every single week, because it is our guide in how we grow towards the Christ life. That's why we teach and instruct and inspire you. It's because God's plan is not to set pastors loose on the world. God's plan is not to send pastors out as agents of redemption and everyone in the church just watch the pastors do their thing. No, God's plan is to set the church loose on the world. God's plan is for every single one of the followers of Jesus to be unleashed on this world as forces of his new life and resurrection. That is God's design. So do you really think that I gave my life to come and entertain you once a week? I love you guys, but that's not what I'm giving my life to. I give my life to equipping you guys to be followers of Jesus, to go from this place and be the church in the world. That's what I'll give my life to. That's what I want for you guys. When we gather, we, as your appointed pastors, which is such a humble privilege we treasure, we train you to be agents of redemption in this world. The Christian life following Jesus does not culminate in or end with coming to church once a week on a Sunday. It culminates or ends with following Jesus out of the walls of this church. We need to go from this place. We gather from the church every week so that we can live the Christian life. We gather every week so that we can be the church to the broken and hurting world that so desperately needs the loving touch of Jesus. This is not a concert or a TED Talk that you come to weekly to be entertained. This is a training ground where you learn how to live the Christ life, to follow Jesus with your whole lives, and to live in the world making a difference as the church. When you come to this gathering as the church, you are fueled, you are corrected, and you are protected by God's word. You are equipped to live like citizens of heaven on earth, showing the rest of the people on earth what it looks like to be a citizen of heaven, what it looks like to live the God life, to live the abundant life. And what if, can you just imagine what this place would be like if we all had that perspective of, I'm coming here to be trained to live my life for God. Right? It's not about coming to be entertained, but coming to be equipped. I'm not coming here to be entertained by a speaker or some music. I'm coming so that the music and the speaker, the truth in those words, can affect the way that I live. Right? And I want to get really practical with you guys for a second. Right? I'm not telling you that you need to go out and save the world single-handedly, right? Like, hey, Jimmy, go end racism, right? Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. Like, good luck with that, pal. You know, like, that's not what I'm saying, okay? I want you to think about your circle of influence. And what I mean by that is the people around you in your everyday life that you interact with, that you have an influence on. Maybe that's classmates, teammates, bandmates, choir members, the siblings, Instagram followers, whatever it is, people that you interact with that you have an influence on. Think about those people. And what I want you to have the mindset of is I'm going to be a follower of Jesus in my own circle of influence. When someone is lonely, I will share my presence. When people are gossiping, I will speak well of that person in defiance. When someone is in need, I will supply for them. When racism is present, I will speak out the truth and the grace and the love of the gospel. When someone is mourning, I will mourn with them. What if instead of thinking I have to save the world and then immediately getting discouraged and being paralyzed by our discouragement, what if instead we thought I'm going to go to my circle of influence and I'm going to live as a Jesus follower and I'm just going to watch as the Lord brings the kingdom of God through my life? And I got something to tell you, CA students. If every single follower of Jesus did that, that would change the world. And I think that's the design, that if every single Jesus follower affected their circle of influence, lived as a follower of Jesus in their circle of influence, that would change the world. I think that's what the church is. CA students, can I get an amen tonight? Come on. CA students, when we gather here, we're equipped and we're encouraged, and those are good things that we receive. I don't want to downplay that. You receive so much when you come to church. But we receive so that we can give. We receive so that we can go from this place and follow Jesus. We receive so that we can go from church to be the church to the world. Aiden, you can come up and join me as we close. There's a story in Scripture that I think illustrates this idea of what happens when we come to church really well. And for those of you that are familiar with the Old Testament, you might know the character whose name is David. And David was eventually the king of Israel. But before he was the king of Israel, he was hunted by the previous king, whose name was King Saul, who wanted to kill him. And so David is on the run from King Saul. And he comes to this town called Nob. And he goes to what the Old Testament kind of equivalent of a church would be. He goes to the priests. And he says, like, priest, I need some help. What can you do for me? What can you give to me? And here's what the priests give him. They give him some bread for the journey, and they give him a blade for his battle. They give him some bread that was consecrated to the Lord, and they gave that to him to sustain him, to encourage him. And they gave him the blade of Goliath, whom he had previously killed, so that he could fight the battles in the future. And CA students, I think that's what we get when we come to church. I think we get some bread for the journey, we're encouraged and we're sustained, and we're given a blade for the battle. We are equipped for the life that God has called us to live, for the difference that we are called to make outside of these walls. CA students, the church is on a mission. We talked about it last week. Jesus said that he is building the church and the gates of hell will not win. We are at in war. We are at battle. The church is storming the gates of hell, taking back what the enemy has stolen. We're not here just to be entertained once a week. We're here because we're on a mission. The Lord has sent us. The Lord is not blind to the brokenness in the world. He sees the brokenness in the world, and he's sending the church after it. Wherever there is death, there is hunger, disease, loneliness, racism, the church is coming. And the Lord is going to use the church to bring redemption and healing using his power through them. That is who our God is. And let's just take a break for a second and think about the ultimate example. When Jesus came from heaven, you think when Jesus came from heaven, he was thinking like, huh, I wonder what I can get when I come to earth. I wonder what I can get from these people. I wonder what they can give me. I wonder how I can benefit from the situation. No, from the beginning, he came to earth with the plan, I am going to give it all so that they can live. I am going to give instead of focusing on receiving. I'm going to focus on giving for the benefit of others. That is who our God is. And if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, we must follow in his example. That is who our God is. CA students, really the main point is good news, right? You are not the church, and the church isn't all about you. That's really good news. That's really freeing, right? But when we come to church, we're encouraged so that we can encourage. We are equipped so that we can be sent out. The Lord has a plan for us. He is using us in this world. He's leading us to a good thing. Aiden's going to lead us in a song. And we're going to sing that he makes us brave. So CA students, what I want you guys to think about as we pray and listen to this song and sing along is that I want you to make this your prayer. God, would you make me brave to actually be the church? To stop just coming to church and actually be the church? Would you give me the courage to live that out in my life, in my circle of influence? And if some of the leaders are going to be up around the room, if you want prayer, like, I really need courage to live this out, or about any other thing, something to celebrate, something to cry about, the leaders are going to be around the room to pray with you guys. But let's really make this our prayer tonight, that God would give us the courage, that he would make us brave enough to live the life that he's called us to live.